Matthew chapter 2. Title of the message is Seeking Christ for the Purpose of Worship. Seeking the Lord Jesus Christ for the purpose of worshiping Him. Very few took notice of the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of the greatest events in the history of this world, in the history of creation, went mostly unnoticed. That is a witness to the depravity of the human race. That when the God of creation, the one who made us, all things were made by Him and for Him, went mostly unnoticed. Our Creator came into this world, and the world knew Him not. The world knew Him not. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and very few were aware of it. And it's still the same today. Very few worship, and I mean worship, the Lord Jesus Christ. Very few have truly bowed to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Very few. There are many who confess to believe on another Jesus, the one the Bible knows nothing of, but the sovereign King, the sovereign potentate, the sovereign ruler, very few worship. Very few. But there are some. There's some here this morning that worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were some in that day that were made aware of His birth. The shepherds who came at His birth. We have Simeon and Anna. When they saw Him in the temple, Simeon said, "Now let thy servant depart. I have seen thy salvation," when he was looking into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here these wise men, and that's going to have our attention this morning, these wise men seeking the Lord for the purpose of worship. Now in verse 1, we have one of the most profound statements in all the Word of God. Jesus was born. That to me, I was reading that over that this week, that is one of the most profound statements in all the Word of God. Jesus was born. The Word made flesh. Turn over to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and that's a capital W. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Nothing exists that Jesus Christ did not make. Everything you see in the heavens, in the universe, the untold, innumerable stars, galaxies, everything on this earth was made by Jesus Christ. Everything. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Look down now in verse 14. And the Word, the same Word that was in the beginning, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among, walked among us. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who is God, walked among us. And we beheld his glory. The apostles, the disciples beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was born. That's who was born. This Jesus is God in human flesh. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know what God is like, study Jesus Christ. There is no way of knowing who the true and living God is apart from Jesus Christ. There is no way of knowing except by him, through him. This is Emmanuel, God with us. It is written in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was revealed in the flesh. And here we have it in verse 1 of chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born, the birth of Jesus Christ is the fulfilling of all the Old Testament pictures and types. All the lambs that were slain, all those lambs that were offered, the tabernacle, the high priest, we don't have those anymore. And the reason we do not have those anymore is because they were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. We have all of that in him. We have the reality of it in him. We don't have all these ceremonies and all these types of pictures anymore, all these shadows. The real has come. He's come. He's the fulfillment of all the promises. All the promises. He's the fulfillment of all the promise to Abraham. God promised that through Abraham that his seed would come and all nations of the earth would be blessed. And right now, all nations of the earth are being blessed through the gospel. There are men and women in every nation, every tongue, every tribe that God has saved some. God has saved some out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation under heaven through this seed of the woman, this seed that was promised to Abraham. Here he is. Here he is. We are on sermon audio, and at the end of each month, they give you a report. And we are listened to in China. We are listened to in Africa. I mean, you can go down through there and just name nations. Germany, Korea. There was one in North Korea listening to us. So this message preached from this pulpit. That's amazing. That's amazing. I have no doubt that's one of the ways that God is using to spread the gospel throughout this world. That's one of the ways. But he is that promised seed. He's the promise to David. God said he would raise up one to sit on his throne. Jesus Christ is that one. He's that one. He's the promise to Israel. As I read you, we are the circumcision. I am looking, every believer in here, I'm looking at the true Israel of God. I'm looking at the true Jews. Everyone who believes the gospel. Circumcision, the scripture says, is that of the heart and not of the flesh. You are the true Israel of God. Everyone who believes the gospel makes up the true Israel of God. And then his birth, the birth of Jesus Christ, was not only the fulfilling of the Old Testament scriptures, but it was also a miraculous birth. Born of a virgin. Who ever heard such a thing? Only God can do such a thing. Only God. The sinful seed of Adam, the sinful seed of this corrupt human race did not enter into his person. He said, "A body hast thou prepared me." The human nature, the body of Jesus Christ, the human nature of Christ was begotten by the Holy Spirit. And when he was born, he's the only person born who knew no sin. Knew no sin at all. Now what we have in verse 1 is the birth of our Savior. Brethren, we have a Savior. I have good news this morning. I have good news for sinners. We have a Savior. One who's able to save us from sin. One provided by God Almighty. God provided this Savior. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God's providing. Isaac said to Abraham, he said, "Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." Now listen, God provided the lamb and God provided himself as the lamb. God himself is the lamb. That's who he is. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 2. We have a Savior. Luke chapter 2. If you know anything about sin, that's good news to you. In Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Let me go to verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people," people in every nation, "to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior is born. A Savior for sinners. A refuge for sinners. One who can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One who can save us from sin. You have any sin? Brother, I don't just have sin. I am sin. I'm sin from head to toe. Inside and out. That's why David said in Psalm 51, "Wash me throughly." Throughly. That means inside and out. "Cleanse me from all my iniquity." The gospel is good news to all men of all nations. All men and women of all nations. Now, these wise men seek the King of the Jews for the purpose of worshiping him. Who are these wise men? Well, they're called wise men, but they were known as magicians. The Magi, M-A-G-I, the Magi. They were known as magicians, sorcerers. They dealt with sorcery, like Simon Magus did. You say, really? What were you when God saved you? That was the first thought. When I looked at that, and I was looking at they were magicians. The first thought that hit my mind was, John, what were you when God saved you? lost and undone. They were magicians. They were known as astronomers. That's what they were known as. But I tell you what, they were also this, Gentiles. Gentiles, people like me and you. The Jews didn't think we had any part in it. The Jews called us dogs. We were considered to be dogs. The Gentiles were. And these men were Gentiles. And they were coming to worship the King of the Jews and their King. Their King. The scripture says, those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. There was a time that every one of us sat in darkness. We were born in darkness. We lived in darkness. We walked in darkness. And one day, and I'm sure this happened with many of you who believe the gospel. One day, you're sitting where you are, and you heard. For the first time, you heard the gospel. For the first time, you began to see. For the first time, you had light. You had understanding. You understood who you are, who God is, and your need of Jesus Christ. You understood that. For years you sat in darkness. I know this from my own experience. For years I just sat in darkness. I didn't care whatsoever. I didn't give a flip about God. And then one day an interest was created. And one day I began to have some understanding. I was in trouble. And I understood my need of Christ. And I heard that scripture, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, that was good news that day. That was good news that day. Those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And no doubt they had heard of him. And when they heard of him, they believed the message. You know, concerning those shepherds that I just read to you about, it says when they left, they noised it abroad. They told everybody about it. They told everybody. Then the people they told. And somehow these men heard about him. God sent them a messenger. And they heard about the King being born. And they believed the message. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they believed it. And God also, after they believed it, God gave them a star to follow. And they did. God gave Israel a cloud to follow. What has God given us to follow? The gospel. His word. His faithful minister. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And these men walked in the light they were given. And I say this to anyone here. Walk in the light that God has given you, and he will give you more light. Walk in the light you've been given. You walk in the light you've been given, and he'll give you more light. He'll give you more light. And these wise men sought him out. They sought him out. They packed their bags, put them on their camels, and just followed that star. They just followed that star. That's what they were told to do. Follow this star. I'm not going to get into what the star was. I don't know. God gave them a star to follow. And they followed it. I do know this. Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. I have no doubt he's probably that star. But I'm not going to get into all that. That'll distract us. But here's what they did. They sought him out. They packed their bags. They left their home to find and worship the King. That's what they did. You know, the scripture says in Jeremiah 29:13, he that seeks me with all his heart will find me. No one ever finds Christ half-heartedly. We are taught in the scriptures, whatever we do, to do with all our might. And we are told to seek the Lord with all our heart, and we would find him. And I pray that God give me, God give you a heart to do that with. Because I naturally don't have it. I don't naturally have it. And they come to Bethlehem now. And they start asking the question, where is he? I love this question they ask. Because they didn't put a question mark on it. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he? Where is he? I can tell you where he is right now. It's my responsibility to tell you where he is right now. He's seated at God's right hand. He's seated at God's right hand. But they ask, where is he? Thinking, no doubt, when they walked in to Jerusalem, into Bethlehem, when they walked into Bethlehem, I have no doubt they thought, well, everybody will know. Just ask anybody, they'll know where he's at. Nobody knew. Isn't that amazing? Nobody knew. Ask this one. It's like the lady in the Song of Solomon. Have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Have you seen him? Tell me where he is. And nobody knew. No one knew. That's sad, isn't it? He came to his own people, and his own people knew him not. They had no clue what was going on. No clue. And their purpose for coming here, listen, was to worship him. That's why they came. To worship. Not to get something from him. Not to even make a request. But to worship the King. That's the reason I wanted to sing that song this morning. Oh, worship the King. We have a King. We are under a theocracy. Jesus Christ is the King. Jesus Christ rules and reigns over everything in this world, in the world we can't even see. All principalities, all powers, all authority is put under the dominion, the reign of Jesus Christ, our King. The heart of the King is in the hand of the Lord. And like the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. That gives me great comfort to know that the King of Kings is on the throne. Things are not just happening. He is orchestrating absolutely everything that's going on. He's fulfilling the very purpose of God Almighty from eternity past. He's fulfilling every decree, calling out every sheep, calling them out. He knows them by name. I know my sheep by name. You have children, don't you? You know their names? Well, so does God. So does God. He knows every one of them by name. And it's a number, the scripture says, that no man can number. No man can number. Jesus Christ, the King, deserves our worship. He deserves our worship as God, as our Savior, and as our King. Oh, worship the King. Why have we come here this morning? Because it's Sunday morning. I hope that I have, and you have, come with a purpose of worshiping the King of Heaven. I hope we have come to worship King Jesus. That's why I hope we're here this morning. If not, we've wasted our time. We've totally wasted our time. What is it to worship the King of Heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's to forsake all others. To truly worship Him is to forsake everything, everyone else, every hope you have, except Him. Except Him. It's to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's why we are not having ceremonies and hocus pocus going on here this morning. It's a spiritual worship. It's a heart worship. Worship begins in the heart. He that seeks me with all his heart. It is a heart worship. God is spirit. And he that worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Then it's to give unto him the glory due unto his name. All honor, all glory in salvation, in creation, in providence. We are to give all that glory to him. Everything's providential. You know that, don't you? Not just the big things. Not just the obvious things. Everything is providential. Everything. It is to have no other rival to him. Our Lord said this. He that loves mother, father, sister, brother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. But I tell you this, if you love Jesus Christ supremely, you will love mother, daughter, sister, brother like you ought to. Like you ought to. Then it's to have no, it's to submit to him in all things. It is to submit, no matter how hard the trial, no matter how hard the heartache, it's to submit to his divine, wise will in all things. In all things. Not my will, but thine be done. And that's just scratching the surface of what it is to worship him. Now, in closing, the good news of the gospel is not good news to everyone. It's not good news to everyone. Herod, it says, when he heard this, where is the king of the Jews born? It says, Herod and all of Jerusalem were troubled. They were troubled at the news. The very good news that you and I rejoice in, who believe, is not good news to those who do not believe. It's not good news to them. Herod saw him as a threat to his power and his glory. He saw him as a threat. I see him as a savior. I see him as God, as king, as redeemer, as my all in all. That's the way every believer here sees him. But Herod didn't see him that way. And all of Jerusalem, it says, was troubled. Troubled. This is the way natural men see Christ. They see him as a threat to their power. I'll be my own God. They see him as a threat to their way of life. Men love their sins. They love their sins. And they see, now listen, they see salvation from sin as a negative. They see it as giving up this, and I don't, can't do this no more, you know. But it's not until God saves them that they see salvation in Christ as a positive. What did I read to you out of Philippians? Paul said, I count all things as what? Loss. What things were gained to me, the things I loved, the things I went after, he said, it's nothing but dung. And that's putting it politely. Nothing but dung. But until that happens, we see it as a threat to the things we love by nature, which really ought to be our shame. Herod privately calls the wise men for the purpose to find Christ and kill him. Kill him. He said, tell me where he's at so I can come and worship him. Such is politicians. So I can come and worship him. His mind was to come and kill him. But I am so glad that God knows the hearts of all men. God knows every thought that passes through every mind. He knows the intent of everything we set out to do. Everything. And God and the Lord Jesus Christ rules and overrules everything that goes on. Everything. If you'll notice, the one thing that I noticed when those wise men went in and spoke to Herod, that star didn't stand over his house. It didn't stand over his house. It wasn't until they left. See, he called them in for a private meeting. And it wasn't until they left that the star appeared again to them. But while they were there, it didn't shine. You know, that's, I tell you what, there's a lesson in that. Stay out of those places where the gospel's not. Just stay out of it. And let me close with verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. He was about, some say he was about 2 years old by this time. They saw him with Mary and his mother. And one thing I want to point out here, they did not worship Mary and Christ. They worshiped Christ and Christ alone. Christ and Christ alone. And they fell down and they worshiped him. They just fell down at his, right where he was at. Here he is, about 2 years old. Here are these wise men, and they fall down before this 2-year-old who is the King of Glory, who is God. He's a 2-year-old kid, but he's also God. Who can comprehend such a thing? And they worshiped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they didn't come empty-handed. They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I guess that's why they call them three wise men, because there's three gifts. I don't know how many wise men there were. It doesn't say. It doesn't say. But they offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And here is the, let me make this point. Here is the mercy of God. Because right after this, after they leave, Herod seeks to kill this. He's upset because he feels like he's been duped by these wise men. So he seeks to kill him. So God tells, an angel appears to Joseph and tells him to go to Egypt, because Herod seeks to kill him. And God, in bringing these wise men to worship him, provides for their journey gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All that they'll need while they're down there in Egypt, God gives it to them. Provides for them. Doesn't our Lord provide? He provides everything we need. Everything that we need to stand in his presence, he has provided for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And everything we need as we go through this life, he's provided. Has anything failed? That's what Joshua said. Has anything failed of all that the Lord has promised? He's provided. And he provided for them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Took care of them. But wise men seek the Lord for the purpose of worship. And I pray God make us wise men and enable us to worship Him in spirit and in truth.